Well, it's so great to see your smiling faces this morning. And what a joy it is that we can be together and be praising God and giving Him glory. If you have a child and you take them to the doctor, there's a pretty good chance that they're going to have a growth chart. When they go and visit, they are going to measure their height and weight. And they are going to then put that and record it on a chart. And that chart is going to then give an indication of how the child's growth is progressing. The higher the lines are on the chart, the higher percentile of growth for that child. And it usually will indicate the healthiness of the child. But we also can see that if those lines are not progressing up, then there's an indication of something might be wrong, that maybe the health of the child is not what it should be. Well, as God's children, we are called to grow to maturity. In 2 Peter 3 and verse 18, there it says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." And so from time to time, we need to consider our spiritual growth, to evaluate it and see how we are progressing. Are we healthy? Or are there maybe some problems? So we want to look at that this morning. We'll begin with just sort of some growth basics, some fundamentals about growth. And the first one is that growth is necessary. For life to continue, growth has to happen. And we can see that in human life, in animal life, in plant life, whatever kind of life, if life is going to continue on, there has to be growth. The Bible speaks of our spiritual journey as a progression from infancy to maturity. And there is an expectation of growth. We would expect a newborn child to grow from being an infant into the next stage of life. And we all would understand we would be taking our infant to the doctor if somehow or another they're not growing. We want to find out, well, what's wrong? Well, there's that expectation. Well, a failure to grow then leads to death. In Revelation 3, verses 1 and 2, there it says, "To the angel of the church in Sardis write, 'He who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars says this, I know your deeds, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. Wake up and strengthen the things that remain which were about to die, for I have not found your deeds completed in the sight of my God.'" Notice what he says here. He says, you have a name that is alive. So meaning that they at one time were alive, but they stopped growing. And he says, now you're dead. He doesn't write them off completely. He says, wake up. But the idea is for us to understand if we're not growing, that moment in which we stop growing is the moment in which we begin to spiritually die. And also see that growth is not automatic. We may think that spiritual growth is sort of, you know, it just happens over time, sort of maybe like physical growth. If given enough time and if I'm around Christians, then I'll grow. It'll just happen. But think with me for a moment. Physical growth doesn't happen that way. Physical growth is something that requires eating the right kind of food, getting rest, exercising the body. If those things don't happen, then growth can't occur. And so what we see then is that spiritual growth is deliberate. We must have a desire to grow. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, there Peter says, "Like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation." Peter says you've got to long for it. There's got to be a desire for growth. There's got to be a desire for the word of the Lord. he also says that we must put forth effort. The word there in verse 2 here is of grow is a verb. It means action must happen. Effort must be put forth. To grow is to increase, to become greater. And so time alone is not enough for growth. We must put forth the effort to seek spiritual food, to seek spiritual exercise, if you will, to seek spiritual rest so that we can grow spiritually. We also see that growth is a process that occurs in different stages and in different levels. Spiritual growth is not an all or nothing type of thing. You don't start out as an infant one day and then the next day you're an adult. No growth happens that way. But it happens as a progression over time. And so while we all progress at different rates, we're not all going to be at the same place spiritually where everyone else is. But our focus must be on that progression. Are we moving forward or are we standing still? Growth of the individual causes growth of the whole. What I mean by that is that our spiritual growth has an effect on others. In Ephesians chapter 4, noticing there just as verse 15 and 16, Paul writes, "But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ." There's the individual growth. That's what each and every one of us are to do. We're to grow up into Christ. But notice verse 16 then, "From whom the whole body being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love." Verse 16 is saying there's the growth as the whole. That what I do as an individual affects the whole body. Notice with me, if you will, a negative way in which that can happen. In 1 Corinthians 3, verses 1 through 3, as Paul is writing to these Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 3, verses 1 through 3, he says, "But I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk and not solid food, for you were not ready for it. And even now you are not ready, for you are still of the flesh. For while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way?" Paul says you haven't grown like you're supposed to. And he says, look at what has happened. I want to talk to you in a spiritual way. I want to talk to you in a mature way, but I can't. And he shows what's happened. There's strife. There's jealousy among them. Well, the point that I want you to see is if they had grown spiritually individually, then there wouldn't be that strife and jealousy among them as a whole. And so each one of us must grow individually to affect the whole growth of the body. Well, let's evaluate then our growth. And the question may be, well, where do we begin? If a child goes to the doctor, their growth is compared to a standard. That's how that growth is evaluated. Well, God has set the standard of spiritual growth then to be His Son. In John 14 and verse 6, Jesus Himself says, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Christ's life of perfection is the standard by which we measure our own growth. Are we going to measure up completely to that? No, never. But what we see is that as we grow, we seek to be more like Christ in our thoughts, in our actions, in our words, so that we truly become a reflection of who He is. We won't meet His standard of perfection, but that's what we are to be doing, each and every one of us, is to say, I'm to be like Christ in all that I do. Well, where does that begin? It begins with the knowledge of God. The more we know who God is, the more we have a personal relationship with God, the more we begin to reflect who He is. I'll say it in this way, the more time you spend with someone, what happens? What happens with a husband and wife? The more time they spend with each other, they start finishing each other's sentences, don't they? They know what the other person is thinking. The same thing becomes true of us then. The more time that we spend with our Father, the more time we spend with Christ and the Spirit, the more we become a reflection of who they are. In Colossians 1, verses 9 and 10, Paul writes, "For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in knowledge of God." Notice what he says there in verse 9. He says, we haven't stopped praying that you would be filled with the knowledge and the understanding of God. Now, why does Paul want that for them? Well, he says it in verse 10 then, so that they would walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, so that they would produce fruit, good works, so that they would be increasing in that knowledge of God. That's the idea of growth. It begins when we know who God is and we have that relationship with Him. Bear with me for a moment then, and I'd like for us to think about our own spiritual growth charts. That if you had to chart out your growth over the past several years, what would that growth look like? I'm just going to give you a few examples of it, and hopefully we all can find ourselves on one of these charts, hopefully not all of them. So the first example would be no growth. That you became a Christian, but that's it. And that there's nothing, there's no growth that has ever occurred. There's no increase, the knowledge of God that you have today is the knowledge of God that you had at the very beginning. There's no desire to grow, there's no effort that has been put forth. I hope none of us are on that chart. But there's another chart, there's declining growth. And that is that you started off strong. You were increasing. You had that desire to know God. But then other things started to take priority. Things of this world became more important to you than the things of God. And so rather than increase in your growth, you began to decrease in that growth. Another growth chart would be the plateau growth. That you've reached a certain level of growth and you haven't declined, so you sort of think, well, I'm okay. I'm doing all right. I've arrived at a point in my life where I know some things about God and I'm good with that. You have a desire, but it's easier to be complacent. It's easier to just go with the status quo. We might say, you've reached your comfort zone, and you're good. What I want you to understand is the reality of this chart is no different than the first two that I put up there. Because the reality of growth is if we are not increasing, then we are dying. And you may say, well, but I've got that growth. I've reached this level. But you're not going further. Then there is continuous growth. A steady desire and effort to know God and to apply His will to your life. In Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1, there the writer says, therefore, leaving the elementary teaching about Christ, let us press on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. That word, as he says there, press on to maturity. Maturity in the literal version means full growth. He says, I want you to be increasing. I want you to keep on. Never stop. And that's the reality of growth. It never stops. There's never a point where we can say, I've arrived. I've got this whole God thing down. I know it. Because the reality of God is, if we were given 10 lifetimes, if we were given 1,000 lifetimes, an infinite number of lifetimes, I don't think we would ever get to the point where we would fully understand and know God. But don't let that stop us from seeking to know Him as best we can. You see, continuous growth should bring about milestones. For time's sake, we're not going to read Hebrews 5 there in verses 11 through 14, but what has happened is the writer of Hebrews says, look, it's been long enough, and there should be some milestones in your growth. He says, you guys should already be teachers, and yet now somebody's got to go back and teach you the very basics. What he's saying there is they had stopped growing. There should have been certain milestones in that growth. That while everyone progresses at different rates, there is a time frame to that growth. That those Christians should have been teachers by that point in time. Well, as we look at that, we say, well, how do I know? How do I measure my growth? If I'm supposed to be continually increasing, how do I know that? God gives us ways to measure our growth. And this is not an exhaustive list by any means, but in 2 Peter 1, verses 5 through 7, there Peter says, look, here are some measurables. He says, applying all diligence, add to your faith moral excellence. To moral excellence, knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. Those are things I can measure in my life. How much love do I have for God? How much love do I have for my brother? How much faith, how much trust have I put in God? Am I still holding back, going, well, God, I'll trust you in this, but this over here, no. I'm still out on that. Those are things we can measure. And what we must do is not just say, okay, I've got this moral excellence thing down. And I'm good where I'm at. We've got to also look at our faults. If we're sitting there going, I don't have too much perseverance, then that's where we need to work. To look at the things where we are failing and seek to not only grow in the things that we are good at, but also the things in which we fail. And understand this, that our goal is perfection, but we are not going to attain perfection. And the best way I know how to describe that is, I hope that this can be all of our growth chart. But here's the reality of that growth chart. From a distance, it may look like a line that is continually increasing. But that's not the reality of our Christian growth. The reality is there's going to be a whole bunch of peaks and valleys. And it might be that those peaks are those times when I am closest to God. Those peaks are, you know, I am just so in tune. I have been praying to God and I experience Him. But then those valleys might be those times when my marriage is on the rocks. Or when I've lost a loved one and I'm struggling to go, well, why, God? But the point in all of this is to say we've got to take not only the mountaintops, but also the valleys and learn and grow from them. Because that's the reality of our lives. So the question then that I want us to all ask ourselves is, how have we changed? Because if remaining in the same place is the absence of growth, then what that means is that growth equals change. We don't like change. We like everything nice and neat, and we like it just like we want it. But that's not the nature of growth. We can't stay the same and say that we've grown. So each of us must ask, how have we changed over the past year, the past 5 years, the past 10 years? Are we declining? Are we leveling off? Have we become so comfortable and complacent that we're just good where we are? Or are we increasing in the grace and knowledge of God? See, if we're not changing, if we're not becoming more of a reflection of Christ, then we're not helping the body of Christ to grow. Our shepherds are working to help us grow. They are seeking to put things in place in the next coming months, and really I could say the next coming years, to help us so that we are more Christ-centered in our lives and when we come together as saints. They're looking for ways to harness all of our collective gifts to love and care for our family of saints, to build our faith and unity in Christ, to go and spread the gospel to everyone that we come in contact with. They're seeking to harness all of our collective gifts so that everything that we do ultimately glorifies God. And you're going to be hearing more things about that in the next coming months. But here's the takeaway for us all this morning. The shepherds can put plans in place. They can give us tools to help us grow. But growth depends upon me. Am I allowing God to work in me to gain more knowledge of God today than I had even yesterday? Am I hungry for His Word? I have to be willing to change, to be more of a reflection of Christ in this world. We're not all going to have that same rate of growth. But what all of us are called to do is to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So this morning, are you growing? If you're on one of those three charts, those first three charts, you're in jeopardy right now. And so you've got an opportunity right now to make a change in your life. To say, I want to be different. I want to be a reflection of Jesus Christ. And if you are not even on one of these charts, that you haven't named the name of Jesus Christ, then why not change this morning and begin that journey with Him? The greatest journey that you'll ever have. But the opportunity is given to each and every one of us. And if we can help you in any way, if we can pray with you, if you have that desire to be baptized into His name, won't you come as together we stand and sing?